Chris.
Thank you.
You know, the reality of that song, Good Things Are Coming, because Dan Hash and Laura Hash are here this morning, and they could not be any gooder. So Dan and Laura have been serving in Poland for 33 years. We've been supporting them as missionaries for about 20 years. And the thing, the joy that is Dan and Laura is anytime you're with them, you feel drawn into the joy of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. If you want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit, they have the most overflowing bowl of the fruits of the Spirit. Dan has a zeal for life that is infectious. He tells some of the most amazing stories. And Laura isn't going to be speaking up here this morning, but I highly encourage you. She is one of the deepest, most compassionate people that has the sensitivity of the Spirit. And every time that they are here, it is a gift to us. And so I would like you to welcome Mr. Dan Hash. He's going to bring the word this morning.
Thanks, brother. Wow. You're thinking what I'm thinking. Laura should be preaching, not me. Well, I'm impressed that you're here. I know there's a little hockey game going on. And I'm from Poland, and we're 8 hours ahead, so the tension is off over there because we already know who won because we're 8 hours ahead. Thank you. A little timing. So we're part of an organization called Josiah Venture that has as its goal movement of God amongst the youth of Central and Eastern Europe that finds its home in the local church and changes society. And we've been doing this for a while, and we love it. And we also really love coming back to the States. This is a great country. We really are enjoying being back here for a little bit. We're here for a couple of weeks. Somebody asked me, why Poland? What? Why? How did you get there? And you know how we all have our stories, and this outline you can follow, but let me throw up a picture here. This is when we very first moved to Poland 33 years ago right now, and that's Laura and I on the right, and the other couple on the left is the other couple that we started this organization with, and they had two sons, one taking the picture who was like four, and it went well, and then the other kid, and that was us 33 years ago, and it's grown. It's a much larger ministry, but the context to us getting to Poland was interesting. I was a youth pastor on a military base in Germany with American military people, and I had the opportunity to take our youth group over to Yugoslavia, and then once I went into Poland to train some youth leaders. Guy said, would you be willing to go? I go, sure, where's Poland? You know, California Public Schools. I didn't know exactly where anything was. And so I went over there to Poland, and I started teaching at 24 years old or something, started teaching these youth leaders. And I started using all of my vacation to go into Poland and driving in from Germany. And the guy said, Dan, what you're giving us, we need all the time. Could you find somebody that would do this all the time? To which I replied, yes, I will look for somebody. And then he walked away and came back and he said, maybe that person's you. And I said, it's not. No, that's not God's will for my life. So we moved there 33 years ago. And you know, you never know what the next step in your life is going to open up. You know, you just don't know. As I'm telling you that story, you're going, yeah. Look, you're looking back at your life, and you're seeing how one thing led to another, and sometime down, as we just sang, down hard roads too, broken roads. But we moved over there. We started learning the language, and it's complicated. All foreign languages are foreign, but this one's rough. And we set up a home, and we're finding our way there. It was right after communism had fell. And it was rough, and we were going to help this one group of people. They said they wanted to start a new church, and our goal was to train youth leaders in the country. And so we decided to accelerate the church planning process a little bit. And the guy that was there took offense to that and really got upset with us. And up till that point in my life, I never had anybody really upset with me, like questioning my motives or my heart. And I that was disorienting. And then there was an accusation that had come out about something I'd signed, and it was a tragic misunderstanding. And I remember him saying to me in a confrontation, he said, "You really, it's like you want all the praise for yourself," or something like that. You know, you want to be the main focus. And I remember standing there looking face to face with this guy going, How can such a big misunderstanding take place? Well, that led to some really beautiful things for me. God did some really amazing work. But I want to tell you that a little bit more of that story in a moment. But I want to take you into a passage that captures this really well, which is why I told you that story. And you can follow along in your Bible, which you always do here. I know that's a high priority, but I am going to put the verses on the screen, and so you can follow them too. And this is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. And this is the first couple of verses. And Paul is pressing an issue. He is feeling misunderstood, and he's trying to press in on something, but not because he's about himself. So he says this: "For you yourself know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came to you with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is our witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ." So he's saying, "Hey, you guys, don't question my motives." And that's what I felt at that. And I was like, what are you doing? You ever had somebody question your motives? I remember one time I was sitting on an airplane, and there was a couple right in front of us, and they had a little baby, and it wasn't going well. You know, you ever sat behind those? You ever been that person? Yeah, okay. And so I'm sitting there, and they're just, it's 10 hours of flight, and this baby, and I'm just like, and we had a little child at that time, and not with us, and I don't remember what the story was, but we didn't. And I'm watching them, and I'm just watching this poor couple trying to maintain some sense of order, you know, on this airplane. They were beside themselves. And finally, just before we were landing, you know, it's really getting bad. And I'm looking at the crack between the seats. I'm like, oh. And the guy is feeling my stare. And all of a sudden, he stands up, turns around, and he says, what do you say? "Are you mad at me?" And I go, No. And then he said something else, which I won't repeat, but it wasn't kind. And he's like, he screams at me. I'm like, the whole time I've been sitting here feeling compassion for these people, he's feeling what he thinks he knows what I'm feeling, and he thinks it's condemnation. And he took every one of my intense glances as something absolutely the reverse than what it is. And when you've got a narrative going in your mind, which this guy had for me back in Poland, you really think there's something wrong. Well, you know, that's hard to be misunderstood. You know how that is. It's hard to be misunderstood, and you go, wow. And anyway, Paul is questioning these guys, and you watch his response. It's really interesting. So he says, that's what's going on, and this is the point of the message. This is for us. This is beautiful for me. He says this in the next verse. If we can flip to the next slide, he says, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother caring for her own child. It's just her own children. It's beautiful. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves, because you had become so dear to us. So as Paul's commenting on what he is experiencing as a lack of trust and as pain that you've experienced, he says, and our response was, we were gentle among you. Like, and then he picks this metaphor, like a mom caring for her little child, like a newborn baby. This next picture, this is a picture of Laura and our son Jacob after his second child was just born here a little bit ago. So our son lives in Poland, is a missionary over there, and is married to a wonderful, true American from Indiana. And they just had their second baby. Her name's Nora. And I remember, in this picture, look at that father. I don't have a picture of the mom here, but look at that father and that grandma looking at that baby. Let me remind you that baby is contributing nothing to their existence, nothing. Nothing fruitful, nothing worthwhile, nothing you want to retain in your backpack. Nothing. There's no significant contribution to speak of. And so you go, well, this isn't a very transactory, interaction. There's nothing to be gained from a newborn, which is ludicrous, which is why, as I say it, you go, yeah, who cares? It's a baby. And they're all pretty, but ours is a little prettier. And Paul is saying, you were a bit useless, but you were adored by me. We were among you like a mother caring for her newborn. That's the picture. And he's not just talking about them. He's talking about himself and how he felt towards them when they had questioned his motives. Paul cared. And he says, and I read it already, but I want to repeat it because I want you to hear it. It's really, if you're taking notes, you'll catch it there. But it says, so being affectionately desirous of you, quite a word, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our own selves. I read the NIV normally and it says, and our lives as well. So there's two things. There's the gospel of God, and our lives as well. These two elements that when they come together, it's this incredibly potent combination. It's like the gospel transference to people's hearts is complete or utilizes the releasing agent of true relationship. My life and the gospel mixed together. Now, you hear those two things. There's the gospel truth, and there's my life. And all of you have a natural sort of lean in one of these two directions. So just join for a minute and think about yourself. Which way do you lean? Meaning, when you think about something you want to give or the kind of person that you are you a person that first gives truth and the word and saving biblical realities and advice and content? Or are you a person who leans more towards, I'm going to love them, I'm going to give myself to them, I'm going to be involved in their life? And the artificial dilemma is that one is more important than the other. But just for a second, if this is a horse and you naturally fall off on one side, which side do you fall off on? More towards giving truth and believing that the truth will save, which is biblical, it's true, or more towards loving people, okay? Now, just for giggles, if I force you to choose, you won't see this so clearly, those of you who are watching online, but for those of you who are sitting here in the room, just for fun, if you had to choose which one you more naturally lean to, whether you like it or not, which side do you more naturally lean to? Okay, I'll give you a chance. We have you raise your hands. You ready? Okay, maybe we don't do this on Sunday morning, but I'll go back to Poland and it'll be fine. Which do you normally lean to? So who is more of a truth person by nature? Yes, you agree with both. You're a perfect balance. Just a second. Who's more truth and who's more relational person? Okay, you ready? Truth people, raise your hand. Yeah, good. Good, all right, great. Relationship people, yeah. Good, good, all right. It was about 60-40. So that's interesting. It's important to know which way you more naturally lean. By the way, in the next couple of verses, and I'm going to show them a little bit out of order, but Paul speaks to both of those. This is what he says in verse 13. He says this, and we thank God constantly for you, that what you receive, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, so there was some speaking, you accepted it not only as the word of men, but as what it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. So for the half of you that lean that direction, you're in good company. That's really important. And then before that, in verse 11, he had said this, "For you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into our kingdom and glory." Hear those words, encouraged and charged. It's not soft, but it's very lean in-ish. It has a very purposeful push forward, exhorted. Paul later on, when he's talking to the Corinthians, he's doing some of the same stuff because they were a handful. And he says to them, he goes, "Corinthians, I have opened wide my heart to you. Open wide your hearts to us also." Like he's like really pushing. He's going, "I went first. Come on, give me something." And there's this longing for that to be true. Not because Paul is a wimp and can't get on without relationships with people. That's not the only thing that's going on, although he loved relationship. He's really a truth guy. But the magic is both. This is God's plan A delivery system for the gospel. If you think back to the moments that the word has penetrated your life and caused significant change, often there's other people that are a part of it. Either that's where you're living it out, or it was housed, the truth of God was housed in a person as the word was delivered to you, the delivery hands, you know, the UPS delivery or whatever you use up here, that was relationship. Those two are inseparable, and Paul captures that. And this is really, really good news. I grew up in a missionary home. I grew up in the Philippines, and over there, my father would always say to us kids growing up, he said, "Remember, there are two things that last forever. You know, number one is the Word of God, and number two is people. So make sure you're investing in both of those things because they last forever. Everything else has got, you know, has got an expiration sticker on it." So we moved to Poland, and we're living out the gospel with people. We're loving them. We're pulling them into our lives. It's costly. It's the slow road. And for the glory of God, I want you to see this next picture because that was the team that you saw at the first slide. And this is our team now, 33 years later. So there's like 377 on staff. And one of the things that's really cool is two-thirds of our staff in 11 countries are national staff, meaning Estonians serving in Estonia, and Czechs serving in Czech, and of course, most importantly, Poles serving in Poland. And this brings us so much joy. Laura and I, actually, our main focus now is keeping an eye on and helping with marriages amongst our staff and counseling resources and that kind of stuff. That's what we're doing now. But we're part of this movement, and that's glory to God. And for this morning's point, I'm saying that you give the gospel of God mixed with relationships, and that's the multiplication magic that God has in mind. Think about it. That's what's been true in your lives, and that's what's true in other people's lives. It's beautiful. For a number of years, Timberwood played just a very active role in a specific way by sending youth teams over to Poland to help lead a camp. Eric, you ever want to? How many times were you? You were there, and that was really fun. We were just chatting about that, and a number of folks have been part of that. Kids came to Christ and were multiplied, and this is a beautiful part of the movement. Well, one young man came to faith. His name is Shemek. I won't make you say that, spelled with a P, which is ridiculous. But I'll throw up a picture of him here. And this is Shemek and me on a Sunday morning. And he just preached this morning at our little church back in Poland. And so I'm a pastor of a small church there that we got to be a part of helping plant. We planted it like 11 years ago or so. And Shemek became a believer in one of these camps. And then he went into businesses, did his thing, and we just have tracked together. They moved to Ireland to make the big money. They lived up there for a little while. And then I called him up and I said, 12, 13 years ago, and I said, "Shemek, the Lord has laid on our heart to start this new little church down here in this city. Would you want to come? And so they made the decision to move back to the motherland and brought his wife, and they came back down and they moved into our house first, and then we have a little apartment behind our house that he said, how about we convert that and we'll live there? I said, okay. And they lived with us. And the reason why this, well, okay, two things. As he's sitting with me, you can ask the question, am I giving him the gospel or were we giving them our lives? Both. They were watching us raise our son. They were watching everything. They were in and part of our lives. We were part of theirs. In fact, they couldn't have kids, and we talked, and they said, let's make the big decision to open up our lives to adoption, and they did. And here's a picture of them sitting on our back porch with their three adopted kids. They went from zero to three in 60 seconds, you know, and that... they had never raised kids, and all of a sudden they had three. At that time, they were younger. It's a beautiful story of redemption on both sides. Lovely. That's our jacuzzi on the back porch. So missions is going better than you thought. And we use that. Yeah, we use that for sitting in, and also that's where our church does their baptismal services. So it's okay. Laura's like, why did you say that? Okay. All right. We'll leave that for a minute. That's missions. You saw that picture of 377 people, and that's the real picture. That's mission. And I'm challenging you. I'm saying that's the same. That's exact same thing with you. And I want to know, my challenge to you this morning is, who are you giving the gospel to? And who are you giving your life to? You don't have to pack up and move to Poland, although that'd be great. Come on. But you... what would it look like to give 10% more of you, to let them in, to quit rejecting yourself for them before they even get a chance to reject you? You know? What about God deciding that the perfect way to move the gospel was to put it inside of you? That was his plan A. It's not like, well, I couldn't do any better, so I put it in Dan. That's just the best I could come up with on the spur. No, this is actually his plan A. Us, you. Laura was walking around a couple of weeks ago, a little bit ago, I don't know, and she was praying, Holy Spirit, what do you want? And God put on her heart to talk to this one neighbor. Okay, so she went over there, and we're normal people, and our neighbors bug us, and okay, and that's hard, and gospel, and so she goes over there, knocks on the door. There'd been some previous connection. And one thing led to another, and they're meeting now weekly. Just before we flew over a little bit ago, she was sitting with her in her house, and it's complicated with the kids running around, and she's giving her life to Natalia and the gospel right now. That's where Laura is right now, is giving her life, and where will that go? We don't know. You don't know, but give the gospel of God and your life. Would you just close your eyes with me for just a minute? And I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind right now some place, someone, some something that could use a little bit more of the gospel. Jesus dying on the cross, but the whole thing, the whole truth. I want to invite you to picture giving more of yourself as the delivery system. Picture the gospel in your hands moving in to their life. Feel all that resistance. Feel all that yeah, but. Just let the Spirit say to you what he wants to say. What would he like from you? So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but ourselves, because you have become so dear to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's a beautiful picture of the incarnation when you sent Jesus down. Thank you. Thank you for giving us you. And thank you that that's the privileged role we get to be a part of. Thank you for Natalia, who's in our lives right now. Thank you for Pshemek preaching this morning and leading your church in Poland. God, do more than we can ask or think, we pray. And take all the glory for yourself. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.